Good?
Yes.
All right, move a motion to come back in session.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Arlette, second, Mr. Burton, to come back into public session. Question on motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I will, yes, motion carried. Everybody could please try to hold the noise down to a dull roar. And whoever's not, Mrs. Betts, come on forward.
Thank you, President Vincent. My name is Lynn Betts, and I reside in Seaford, Delaware. Born and raised in Delaware, I've been over in Seaford for about 30 years. Some of what I'm going to say is might be redundant to the folks who just listened to me over in Seaford recently. I just picked up a...
Can you hear?
Try this one. Is this one better?
Yes.
Okay. I'm staying on my tiptoes.
Pull it down.
I just picked up a copy of the agenda back there. I'm looking at the back, and you know, with all due respect, I'm looking at this, and it looks as though it's written by someone that really knows nothing about unions. Union pay deductions and coercions and what have you. I'm disappointed in that. I expect folks who are making policy to really do their homework. Today, when I got out of my car on Race Street and walked towards the circle, I have never been as proud as I was today that I did my 4 years post-high school in a trade union. I was the first woman in the Middle Atlantic states to get a journeyman's card in the International Brotherhood of Painters and Allied Trades. Back then, it was politically correct to say brotherhood, and I earned that title. When the chips were down, my union took care of me, and I earned that too. I earned good health care. I earned days off. I earned the fact that they paid when I went out on maternity leave. I got a paycheck every week, and they paid for my daughter's delivery. And if I wanted to, I could have stayed in that union, but I chose to come to Sussex County. And when I come to Sussex County, I had a couple choices to make. But I knew they were choices, and I knew I had the right to make those choices. I could go in a different career. I could work in a non-union shop as a paper hanger or sandblaster or a painter. And at the time, 1988, I could have earned about $7 an hour. Or I could have called the district council in Wilmington and said, I need to come back. I could have paid my $300 and come back and earned a decent wage then. The choice was mine. And the phrase right to work is such a misnomer. If I were somebody who leaned towards shenanigans and handed out a bunch of cups of liquid here and said, you know, take this, it's good for you, it's an elixir of health and life, and you know, you might go ahead and taste it. If I said, this is full of a laxative and, you know, it might be good for you, how many of you would actually drink it? Everybody has a right to work, but calling this a right to work is a misnomer, and that's a shame. That's really a shame. Seaford? My Seaford people really ought to know better. Look what happened when DuPont left. Oh, my gosh. We have predatory lenders by the scores. There were 11 of them in a 1.10-mile stretch of Route 13, and that didn't count the ones that were along Route 20. That was the supporting businesses that were there. Where'd Floor Daniels go? Where'd Southern Sheet Metal go? They're gone. And look what happened to Seaford. Most people who know what I do on a daily basis now, it's not for pay. And it's scooping people up off the street because of heroin and such, people who have lost hope. And the passage of the right to work, diminishes a piece of the hope that I had for good-paying middle-class jobs to come to Sussex County. Between us, my husband and I have 6 kids, and there's only one who lives and works full-time in Sussex County. And guess what? Her kids are on Medicare. She gets food stamps because even after she's worked hard enough to be in a management position, she's making $14 an hour. We have two new companies that came over the west side of town. Harbor Freight. Harbor Freight's paying their senior sales associates full-time $9 an hour. Hello? It doesn't work. People say, oh, you got FedEx. Well, guess what? Yeah, FedEx will start higher. But people working those lines aren't on a union, and they're not guaranteed more than 20 hours a week. What good is $10.71 an hour if you can only work 20 hours a week? So having a choice here to collectively bargain and collectively get good paying jobs where the folks will stand up for you in a unified voice is imperative to keep Western Sussex County from falling right off the map.
Before you walk away, Mr. President, I'm intrigued because you are from Seaford. Been there a long time.
I am.
You just gave some testimony about five of your six kids don't live and work here.
Yep.
One of them that is financially struggling.
Yeah.
As a resident of Seaford, and I am not one, but why do you think the town of Seaford, the city of Seaford, passed right to work back on December the 12th?
I am still boggled. I am still angry, and I am still boggled.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next speaker, please.
Good afternoon. The good news is I'm not going to tell you my life story or give you any family anecdotes or anything. What I'd like to kind of address is what I think is the bigger picture. Okay. Anybody here remember the book 1984?
Who are you, by the way?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Ken Cicerell. I live at 6 Fairway East Drive in Georgetown. Okay. Anybody remember the book 1984? They were full of government slogans, euphemisms, like freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. Well, you know what? You could probably include right to work as being for freedom in that group of slogans and euphemisms. The only freedom in right to work is freedom for corporations to pay workers less than a living wage. We don't have so much of a jobs problem in Sussex County as we have an income problem. And I do some teaching at Dell Tech, and I see the kind of training and education that is provided by that very fine institution. It would be really nice, I would love to see a lot of the young talent that's coming out of there be able to stay here in Delaware, specifically in Sussex County, and be able to earn a decent living wage. A little while ago, actually, probably earlier this morning, we had a very erudite attorney speak passionately and eloquently in favor of this ordinance, all the time noting that his grandfather or great-grandfather was an active member of the United Mine Workers. Now, you know those folks. They're the ones who fought the rich and greedy mine owners and who paid poverty wages and cared very little for their health, safety, or even the very lives of their employees, of the miners. So now, after directly or indirectly providing that kind of sacrifice for his family, that the kind of sacrifice that allowed his progeny to stand on his shoulders and be able to go to law school, and able to become a successful attorney. Now, this grandson wants to pull up the drawbridge and keep the rabble out. Nice. Now, finally, in light of the recent tax bill passed by Congress, where corporate tax rates have been slashed and the top 1% benefit the most, the question simply becomes, how much is enough? You know, how much more do the richest people in America need to pilfer from working people? Is the goal to have the 1% of the population be tax-free billionaires while the rest of the population sinks into poverty like some third world banana republic? So I ask you, gentlemen, privileged gentleman, you know, how much is enough? How much is enough? Thank you.
Let me just say, what do you teach at Del Tech? I'm just curious.
Yes. I teach a course, a seminar called 7 Seconds to Make a First Impression, and I'm also teaching a couple of adult courses in music.
Okay, I was just wondering if it was economics. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Conaway.
I'm Joe Conaway. I live in Georgetown. I will say, Rob, you know how to draw a crowd, I'll tell you. I'm representing, as president of the Sussex County Economic Development Action Agency, an agency, it is a 501c corporation. We were created as a result of a recommendation by the Sussex County Today and Tomorrow Conference back in 2008. One of the first recommendations that we made to the county council was that they needed to have their own economic development director. And you folks, or your predecessors, did in fact do that, and you're to be commended for keeping that department up and operational. We vitally need it. My family, since we're talking families now, I came to talk about the right of law, but my family started in Georgetown in 1735. And George, I was not there in 1740, but I was there in 1967 when we came down from Newcastle. I took the opposite route. I thought Sussex was a pretty nice place to be, not like Mr. Kittle, who went north, I guess, ever to each his own. I also was the second county administrator and spent 14 years in not the nice quarters we have here, but they were quarters and we did some fine things. And I had the pleasure, and I mean this, the pleasure of serving with both Democrat and Republicans and with Mr. George Cole, who I'm sure is still proud, George, of you. And Mrs. Cole, I did serve with Kitty. Joanne told me, stay away from history and just read what you've prepared.
But smart woman.
She's not here. She's not here.
To hold the leash. So,
yeah, exactly. As Mike could tell you, I get away. And seeing what the guy from Greenwood, what he did to you, I was thinking that just opened a door for me. Because without prepared remarks, I have a tendency to babble, but I'm not going to do that to you. You've done yeoman work today, union type work, by the way. This letter has been entered into the record, but I'm going to read it and then make one or two comments at the end. At its November meeting, the Sussex County Economic Development Action Committee unanimously endorsed the ruling of Mr. Everett Moore, Esquire, the county attorney, as it applies to the right to work ordinance recently introduced in Sussex County. There are 13 board members. We represent individual corporations, we represent large employees, and we represent unions. All voted for this position. Clearly, Mr. Moore's ruling is based on the state law that governs Sussex County and that the Sussex County Council was not granted the power to enact private or civil law. That law was passed, as you heard this morning, in 1970 by a Republican House of Representatives, a Republican Senate, the last time it's been Republic was back then, and a Republican governor. They clearly, in their discussion with the then levy court members, took civil and private law, which would be like an ordinance to grant somebody a pension, if I understand it, clearly did not want this civil kind of litigation to find its way into Sussex County. And by the way, Mr. Kittle mentioned that he had listened to the tapes of the 1982 court case against Sussex County. Well, I didn't listen to the tapes. I was there at that hearing, and it had nothing to do with what you're talking about today. It had everything to do with our right to reapportion, as you do So the right for you to draw district lines was preserved by the courts. And I listened to the tapes. That's what we did. If you can imagine, we marched from the Supreme Court, Supreme Court of Delaware, and marched across to Legislative Hall, and they played the tapes of the debate as to how this piece of legislation came into being. It is a piece of legislation. It is not a charter. You don't have a charter. Bridgeville, of which I was mayor, has a charter, but you don't. You're all created by legislation. And this legislation was clearly not within your ability. Since the inception of the modern Sussex County government in late 1960s, this rule of law has been abundantly clear. And no county council has ever violated a clause in the enabling legislation. Mr. Moore's ruling is clearly correct and is in keeping with years of precedent. Mr. Moore is to be commended for his integrity and his knowledge of the law. We do not support the passage of this type of legislation that clearly flies in the face of the Powers Act of the Home Rule Law. Moreover, there is no way to gauge the extent of the damage that has already occurred to Sussex County in all of our efforts to recruit, maintain, and expand existing businesses in the county. The members of CDAC have well over 150 years in economic development. I, for one, have 45 years. We do not know of any legitimate business that would be comfortable dealing with any government that ignores the rule of law. If you can ignore the law on this issue, what happens if you don't like any other law? This entire discussion has created an uneasiness in the Sussex County business community that has them questioning any thoughts of expanding or locating a new enterprise here. The business community has not expressed any interest in right-to-work legislation. What they are really concerned about is the availability of appropriate infrastructure, a well-trained workforce, excellent schools, widely available broadband, regulations that are clear, consistent, and timely, affordable housing that is countywide, and sites that are shovel-ready for development. As evidenced by your actions as a council, the Sussex County Council has begun the process of addressing all these issues and should be commended for the efforts. But it's time to end this divisive discussion that will only cost the taxpayers of Sussex County thousands of dollars, result in lost economic development opportunities, and end in failure. The county attorney has clearly ruled against this proposal, and in fact, his ruling makes it clear that the council does not have the power even to consider such legislation. Let's move on to attack the real problems that we face in Sussex County. And let me close with this comment. I've been involved in county government since 1973. 45 years I've been involved in economic development, maybe too long. But I have yet to talk to any business in that 45-year time that said to me, we're not coming because you don't have a right to work. In fact, it has never been an issue in all the jobs that have been created in this county. Thank you for your time. Good luck for the rest of the day. See you.
Joe, before you walk away,
sure.
I have to ask you, just I think in here, I think even Mr. Moore alluded to it, but there is a letter of endorsement and support. You make mention that there's no business community has not expressed any interest in right-to-work legislation.
Not that we've dealt with.
Where is it? The State Chamber of Commerce has provided a document stating that they support this.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Mr. Everett Moore, did you not? I think
yes.
You did, yeah. So I think, can you explain why you think they would?
Well, I can tell you, I serve on what is called the DEED Committee, which is the Delaware for Economic and Environmental Growth. And guess who else is on that committee? Mr. Heffron. It's a committee composed of attorneys. It's composed of business interests, chambers, labor unions, their position has to reflect a very large membership. And it is primarily a Newcastle County organization. Very little Sussex County people belong to the Delaware State Chamber. They belong to their local chambers. In fact, there's so much of a division in Newcastle that there's a Newcastle County Chamber of Commerce, which is also a large group. And I'm sure that within that group, I never tried to justify anything that goes on in Newcastle. I'm sure that in that group, there would be some folks who would think that this would work. My exposure to the business community of this county, which has been a long one, doesn't reveal anybody. You know, if you want to talk a little history, the very first company that we brought to Sussex County is still there, Beadle Justin. I'm not sure that's still the name, but it came out of Ohio. They never asked any questions about right to work, and that was back in 1974. They wanted a stable place to work, a shovel-ready development, which the county council prior to 1974 created when they reopened the Sussex County Airport. Georgetown Aircraft is the precursor to PATS and whatever it's called now. They came because it was the site that would offer them the opportunity to do things that they couldn't do other places. And I would submit that if you look at their salaries, they are substantial salaries, and they're doing the job. I think, Rob, your heart was in the right place. I'm just not thinking that the right to work gives me a tool as an economic development person to recruit people here. The only ever experience I had with that was with a company that is not willing and wasn't willing to pay going rates. They were here for years and just picked up and left. And it was because they didn't want to pay the salaries that they had to pay to maintain the people. I've heard a lot of people talk about preserving jobs for our young people. I view this as one of my failures in 14 years, and I hope that the new administrator will be able to look at a council someday and say, we've corrected that problem. Two of my children will not come back to Sussex. They can't make the money here. The average salary in the United States is $60,000. We're $38,000. The average salary in Newcastle is $60,000. Yet they continue to create jobs. We got to do a better job. And the issues that you're working on, this is your list. You're working on improving. That's going to help us. This won't. This causes problems that I think are better placed somewhere else, but not in Sussex County.
Thank you.
Next speaker, please. Can you come forward, please?
Good afternoon. My name is Jane Hovington. I'm a resident of Sussex County, a resident of Georgetown, have been for quite some time. And I'm coming from a different aspect of this. You've had several people to talk to you about the need, necessity of getting doing voting down this legislation. But I just have another question. Our county attorney has said it, the attorney general has said it, that this is something that you cannot do. And the concern that I have is I went back and I looked, you're taking the taxpayers' dollars, about $8,000 a day, based on what the income there is for this particular department. And you're taking this $8,000, wasted $24,000 on 3 days this has been going on, to discuss something that should never have been. We've all are understanding that this is not something that the county council should be doing. There are far more important issues that we need to be addressing besides this bill about the right to work. I mean, we're focusing attention on things that, on a law or legislation or ordinance that is going to take us to court, which is going to cost the taxpayers additional funds. Now, I can tell you that, Mr. Lawson, we just fought to get water in Ellendale. This is money that could have been used in that particular area. But see, we're taking money, focusing on an issue, bringing all these people out here. And if you wanted to have a community meeting to discuss this, rent the school, have everybody come out to school, but you're taking days' time that more important issues could be addressed. As far as businesses coming to Sussex County, broadband is our biggest issue. That's one of the reasons why we can't bring businesses here. I agree. I'm like, as Mr. Conway just said, I have children. With the exception of my daughter, all of them have left Sussex County because they cannot find a job paying affordable wages here. They're educators, but they, by moving upstate, they're able to find a job to pay that will be able that they'll be able to live with. What I'm saying to you is that you have taken the time, and I applaud all these people who stood out there in that weather today to let you know exactly how they feel. If this is based on the desires of the people have shown you what they want. The people have let you know that they do not want this legislation to pass. And then in addition to the legislation passing, then we've got to look forward to court hearings. And I heard someone say today that there will be two court hearings. Do you know, and even though someone said they would pay all the legal bills, have you received any money yet? Case closed, defense rests in that particular issue. So without the money, it's just promises. And I'm here to tell you, as a person whose taxes was just increased because of the fact we need more money in our schools, I don't have that type of money. I'm retired, my husband's retired, and I'm sure that there are other people here in this audience who don't see that this is a wise use of their funds and the taxes that we pay. So I, Jane Hovington, I'm asking you to vote this down because it's not something that we need. And I'm sure you're going to hear a lot of people tell you as far as the union's perspective is concerned, but I'm telling you as a taxpayer and how much money that's being used in order for us to have these hearings, all three hearings that we've had, the time that you have spent, and I'm sure Mr. Moore has spent additional time trying to study and find out the information and prepare for this for today and for any responses that he might have. The fact of the matter is, I just want you to know that in our making America better, we could use our money a lot more wisely than we're doing it today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Please don't applaud.
Come on.
Go.
Next you person.
Want yeah. You want to applaud, you're good. Come on up here.
Yeah, correct.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Jermaine Johnson, 10825 Ruffin Rings Road, Bridgeville, Delaware. I'm here today to say that I oppose this ordination. After having looked it over and seeing what it's all about, it really boils down to this. It's about defunding, dividing, and destroying the ability of the union to negotiate on behalf of the worker. I have been a member of Sussex County, well, a community member for 45 years. I was born in Nanticoke Hospital, 1973, on March the 11th. I've been a productive member of this community, a taxpayer. I'm a pastor. I have three children that I have raised into adulthood, thank God. Two are in college, and they are currently in college in Sussex County. I've been married for 22 years. Also, for 22 years, I have been a member of UFCW, Local 27. I want to tell you that it has benefited me greatly. My family has been blessed. We have got good wages through union contracts. We have got good health care. And believe me, I hear people's stories about high deductibles and different things. This is real meat things that we deal with today. And I'm telling you, the benefit of a union has truly been a blessing to my family. We also have the power to grieve situations on our jobs, to negotiate situations. And this ordinance will take away that power of our voice. I believe that it's a voice that we have. I believe that representation does us well. And I believe that this ordinance right to work, it is nothing right about it. I want to say that. I want to say it clearly. In my closing, I do want to say also as a business person in this community that if we want our communities to grow, we have to look back in times. We have to look back in past and learn from it. And we can learn that we were the strongest when we had that voice of the union stronger like it has never been before. And I believe that we need to get those days back. I believe we need that voice back in our workplaces because too many people are suffering because they do not have a voice. I say to strike this ordinance down. It should not be, and it should not come about. I thank you for your time. And I would just remind it, and this is truly my closing. I know preachers usually have more than one. But this is truly my closing here. I was reminded of something when I got up this morning. I'm a member of a gym, and we have a monthly membership fee. And I was thinking, if you took the language of this ordinance and you put it on that gym, and you defunded that gym and told that gym that they could not have any more membership fees, that gym would close down. I believe this was going on with the union, that this ordinance is about shutting unions down. But when you shut unions down, you shut our voice down. And I just want to say once again, I thank God for the opportunity to stand before you and to tell you the truth, that we need unions stronger than we ever have needed them before. And this ordinance, Mr. Arlette, it will not help our community. If anything, it would damage and it would hurt our communities. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Sir. Next opinion. Speaker, please.
Our opinion.
Sam, just sit down there.
Good afternoon. My name is Don Petimerme. I live outside of Hardscrabble on K Road. I wanted to say a couple simple things, and as I sat here today, my appreciation for your job went way up because you guys like the lines judge at Wimbledon. And everybody, as I listen, I just want to say, well, boy, that's a point. I need to answer that, and it's too much. So here we go. These are my personal opinions. Most of you know I'm a chair of the Sussex County Republican Party. This is not a party position. This is Don Petimerme's position. About this time last year, the governor came down to Seaford to a town hall and told us something we already knew. Delaware broke. And he wanted to work out a plan that we could break through that shortfall. And he started out by saying, you know, it's going to be really tough, but if we all work together, we can do it. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to grow our way out of it. And I thought, wow, after all these years, a governor who gets it. We need growth. And people have talked about what brings companies to places. I've got my own list. I've heard study after study say it's tax structure, regulatory structure, energy costs, educated workforce, and right to work. And I know that won't sound good to people in this room. Here's something else that doesn't sound good. I grew up in a union family. For periods of lasting over 2 years, my dad was out of work because there was no work. And I know that zero is not a living wage. We need to do everything that we can to bring economic activity to Sussex County. The governor, despite that intention of grow our way out, as we finished the year, we found a way to balance the books, but every step we took was a step in the wrong direction on the first four of those things, and he ignored the fifth. That is kind of the economic impacts of it. Personally, I think it also involves elementary right and wrong. I think it's just as wrong to require someone to pay money to earn a living as it is to require them to pay a tax to vote. You should have a right to make a living. I was a victim of the scam as a young man when I had to join the Teamsters to get a part-time job in the summer working peak harvest in a pea cannery and got absolutely nothing for it but a bunch of lost money that I could have really used to support my education. I believe personally and strongly that if there is a chance, I understand whenever there's more than one lawyer, there'll be different views. Each one's going to say this is right and this is right, and they talk for a long time. If there is a chance that here in Sussex County we can take our fate and future into our own hands and try something, I say go ahead and do it. Because I hearken back to those 2 years with no work, which is where, for an awful lot of Sussex County, that's life. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Thank you. Next speaker, please.
My name is Carol Bodine. I'm secretary for the State Republican Party, and I'm also on the town council in Ocean View. And I live in Ocean View, Sussex County. I am for right to work. We have a totally Republican committee. Right to work is a Republican issue. My guess is that all these pro-union people here did not support any of your candidacies. The right to work people supported your candidacy. If you're afraid of being sued, Caesar Rodney has attorneys ready to work for you. The reason they haven't handed you the money is you haven't voted on the issue yet. If you have a personal connection to unions that makes you feel like you can't vote properly, then you can recuse yourself. If Sussex County supports right to work, it will boomerang on the East Coast. You'll see. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next speaker, please.
Good afternoon. My name is John Dean. I am a lifelong resident of Sussex County, residing in Milton, Delaware right now. I am also the president of the Cape Henlopen Education Association. As such, I represent in excess of 470 teachers in the Cape Henlopen School District. I have my membership chair with me, who has informed me, Mr. Arlette, that at least 90% of those are Sussex County residents, and they reside across all five representative districts. So if you wanted local representation, I think I have it. Mr. Conaway basically summed up a lot of what I had to say. We need to look at ways to bring jobs here, and the things that he stated are pretty much in line with what I was going to say. When I was standing here in line, a gentleman asked me, when he found out I was with the Teachers Association, asked me if we had a teacher shortage. And I informed him that in my district, in the Cape Henlopen School District, we do not. And our administration is very proud to boast that for each position that we have posted, that we have 30, 40, 50, 60, somewhere up towards 100 applications. They are very quick to acknowledge the reason that they have those applications is because of our salary structure and because of our benefit package, which is of the school districts in the state. I guarantee you we have the best benefit package, bar none. We have that because of collective bargaining, because we sit down with the administration and we work it out. We sit down and we discuss what we need, what they need, and we compromise. It's not a one-way street. Collective bargaining is not a one-way street. It is a two-way street. It is a negotiation between management and labor. And to take that away severely impacts the right of the worker and the lifestyle of your middle-class people that are living here in Sussex County. With that, I can speak on behalf of those 470 members and tell you we oppose, all 470 oppose right to work. Thank you.
Before you walk away, I have a quick question.
Yes, sir.
And because you are local and you are from the Cape,
Cape Henlopen,
you represent the teachers there.
Yes.
So thank you for what you do there, because I think it's very important. Two thoughts. Number one is, through my learning of this process for the last couple of months, I know that there was I had done an interview to one of the local radio stations, and it was mentioned there and reported on that six of the eight school districts in this county are quote-unquote right to work, to include CAPE. Well, wait, let me finish. And then I'm not looking for an argument. I'm just looking I'm learning. I'm with you. So the question is that six of the eight school districts, meaning that the teachers that work for that school district are not required to be in a union and not required to pay a fee to that union. The six districts that I was told that are that in this county is CAPE, is Indian River, Sussex Tech, Delmar, Laurel, and Seaford. The Woodbridge School District and Milford School Districts, you're not required to be in the union, but you are required to pay a fee. That's what was reported. And so I'm intrigued, number one, with that if indeed that's the case, that six of the eight school districts, public school districts in this county, are quote-unquote right to work, yet the private sector, quote-unquote, is not. So are teachers allowed to work in your school district and not required to join the union?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
First of all, right to work is a misnomer. It is right to work dash for less.
Well, I might be getting the optics.
So
right to choose. I'll use that term, right to choose. Is that
to
better?
To tie.
I don't, I'm just, you answer the question, so they're not forced to join the union.
The term you're looking for and that you're talking about, you are correct. We do not have teachers that pay
dues.
Not even dues. It's actually it's agency fees. Thank you. I was looking for the term, which is a portion of the dues that is used considered what it cost the union to negotiate their contracts. We offer a lot of other services. As well, we don't offer pension plans. That's done through the state,
right.
But we do offer liability insurance. Different unions offer different things for their memberships.
Sure.
Our membership is correct me if I'm wrong, not about 93% in our district. About 93% of the teachers in the district are members.
That's good. So the second, that's good.
I do take offense to using the term right to work because it is a misnomer. It is the right to work for less.
Okay.
So teachers are getting less
no.
that aren't in your union?
No.
They're all getting the same.
They're getting the same.
Okay. That's it.
So the second question that I have for you is because you are representing with DSEA with your shirt on.
Right? I am a member of DSEA, yes.
Well, I'm just acknowledging.
And our president is here as well.
Okay. So
we are an affiliate member of DSEA, correct?
Okay. And then the News Journal, and I don't always quote from them, I will tell you. So, but I will tell you that it was something that I did read over the holidays, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on this. And it was reported from the reporter on Scott Goss is his name, December the 29th. And I'll quote from him, from his article. And that is this is in reference, I'll just quote him directly. The DSEA, the largest labor union in Delaware, represents more than 13,000 dues paying members, including faculty and staff in all 19 of state public school districts. The union's $200,000 in total donations to the First State Strong make it the PACs, this is a super PAC, the second largest financial backer behind a New Jersey-based group called Growing Economic Opportunities that is linked to the Laborers International Union of North America. So my question is, because I do know that that PAC has been out there pretty aggressive, I've been their number one target, which is fine, but I mean, you've got a PAC out there, a super PAC, whereas teachers are donating to a super PAC to this ordinance that has nothing to do with the public sector, nothing to do with the teachers union. So why would they be contributing to this effort and it doesn't affect them whatsoever?
Because, first of all, I am not speaking on behalf of DSEA. Our president is here, Mike Matthews, who can address that. Personally, from the CHEA standpoint, the reason we are involved in this is this is how the right to work movement starts. It starts small. This is what's happened in Wisconsin. It started small and it festered.
Right.
And it started with private. You try to keep the public out of it because you don't want the public in, the public labor unions coming in on it. That's why. So it starts small, but eventually it grows. That's how right to work works. That's how it has worked in the other 28 states, or the 28 states that have it. And we believe that it is an issue that needs to be addressed now. The other concern that the association has with it is you don't even have the legal ability to do this, to implement this regulation. It concerns me, as I sat here earlier today and I heard you reappoint Mr. Moore as your attorney, and it really, as a, particularly as a taxpayer, it worries me that you are not taking his advice and moving ahead with this illegal activity. So that's why the association is on, is involved in it as well.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Next speaker, please.
My name is Patricia Fry. I am a lifelong member of Sussex County, and I am asking council to oppose the proposal for a right to work law or ordinance in Sussex County. You have each received from me a letter which I wrote, I believe, in November, and to the best of my knowledge was published only in the Coastal Point. And I would like to read a portion of that for the record, but I am very much surprised that none of the speakers have addressed the Taft-Hartley Act, which was passed in 1947, in anything other than lawyerly-like terms. And I would like to speak to that as a private citizen with no dog in this race. The Taft-Hartley Act, from a citizen's perspective, says these things, and it makes any introduction to a right to work law or ordinance moot. The Taft-Hartley Act unequivocally says that if a business has signed a collective bargaining contract with a union, that business can still hire non-union workers. It secondly states that a worker who is non-union does not, by law, have to join the union to work in a unionized workplace. Thirdly, and I emphasize that this law is has been case tested a number of times, thirdly, the union must provide the non-union members in the workplace all of the same benefits that accrue to the union members, including a defense equal to that that would be provided to a union member, and that the wages for the same job must be the same, whether the worker is unionized or not. And the fourth provision, from a layman's perspective, of Taft-Hartley says unequivocally, since union workers are guaranteed, or excuse me, since non-union workers are guaranteed the same benefits as unionized workers, they will pay an agency fee. That fee is the same as it costs a union member, with the exception of all portions of the union dues that are used for political activities and or all of the costs that are incurred by the union related to organizing employees. So in other words, the non-union member only has to pay the cost that the union incurs to represent them in collective bargaining activities. The fourth provision has been upheld as high as the Supreme Court. And the only thing that passage of right to work laws does is to allow a non-union member to have all of this salary and representation without paying any agency fee at all. This, to me, in a state where we pay only $8.25 an hour and we still have one in every six Delaware children either going to bed hungry or wondering if there will be food on the table for breakfast, this seems to me to be immoral. And I know that morality is not a popular subject, but I think we need to address it as a county and certainly as a nation. There are pros and cons on both sides, depending on whether you're reading the literature from those who are pro-union or whether you're reading the literature from those who believe in right to work. But right to work is absolutely a misnomer. It has absolutely nothing to do with the right to work. It does not guarantee anybody will keep a job that they already have, and it does not guarantee them a job. I think it is not a coincidence that as we begin 2018, that of the 22 states in the country that pay only the federal minimum wage of $7.25, of those 22 states, 19 of them have right to work laws. There are three things that I would like to present to you that I think, again, from a layman's perspective, make some type of objective assessment of right to work and shows how muddled it is. The first of these is a 2014 study by the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development. It was conducted in all 50 states using 9 objective measurements of quality of life. The states were ranked on a scale from best to worst. And in the 10 states with the best quality of life ranking, 8 of them did not have right to work laws. In the 10 states with the worst quality of life ranking, 8 of them did have right to work laws. This is the exact opposite of what proponents of right-to-work laws argue. The second reference is from the Economic Policy Institute, and for the record, Media Biased Fact Check lists the EPI as a left-of-center resource with a factual rating of high. In other words, these guys tell the truth. And in 2015, they updated their 2017 study, which compared wages in states with or without right-to-work laws. The 2015 study reinforced in total, confirmed the findings that they had found earlier, and the conclusions were that no matter how you slice the data, Wages in right-to-work states are lower on average than wages in non-right-to-work states. And it further concluded that these results do not just apply to union members, but to all of the employees in the states. When unions are strong, compensation increases even for workers who are not covered by any union contract, those who work outside, just ordinary folks like I always was. And likewise, when unions are weakened by right-to-work laws, which they are because their coffers are drained, then all of a state's workers feel that impact because businesses have to be competitive to get standards up. So the third reference, which I would like to bring to your attention, is a 2017 annual survey of corporate executives. And this is the 31st year that this survey has been done. The respondents in the 2017 survey, 37% of them were manufacturers, 9% were construction and trades, and 8% of the were distributing and warehousing companies. The remainder included a variety of employment fields, and the number of employees in these businesses ranged from 25 to more than 1,000. In 2017, the highway accessibility and infrastructure, including broadband, was the number one factor. And highways are not being maintained. We all know this. Infrastructure needs to be done. And heavens knows Sussex County doesn't have the infrastructure. And you members of the council are working very hard to correct that, and for that, you're to be commended. The second reason that they might make a switch to an area was a large pool of skilled labor. Strong unions, vocational and technical college programs are important to meeting this need. And again, Sussex County does not do particularly well, although I must say that it seems to me that Delaware Technical Community College is working very hard to help us have a number of educated workforce. The only then did the third factor of wages come up. And the interesting thing to me was that number eight in the position of why an executive would consider going to an area related to energy costs. And as all other factors are becoming increasingly fixed or rise higher, this factor will become much more critical to companies in their planning. If Sussex County and the state can move aggressively to support clean energy and energy conservation programs, our competitive advantage will increase. A right-to-work law or ordinance in the case of Sussex County Council will do absolutely nothing to make Sussex County more attractive to businesses, and it will hurt Delaware and Sussex County families. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Please.